Welcome to the Morning Upgrade Podcast with Ryan Cote, where we feature casual conversations with entrepreneurs about personal development and growth.
Hey, EA, welcome to the Morning Upgrade Podcast. How are you?
Doing great. Actually, exceptional. Thank you, Ryan, for having me on your great show. And I love your format. I think, you know, short, sweet, to the point, as many gold nuggets for your listeners is a great way to go. So thank you for having me on.
That's what I strive for. And thanks for saying exceptional. That's the first time that guest has mentioned that. So I like that you're having an exceptional day. Love it. So why don't we start off, EA, by just telling everyone who you are, what you do for a living, and then give us a win that's happening in your life right now.
Well, I'm the founder of Givers University. And my win is actually what I do every day. I get up every day winning. I have to say there was three times today and this morning, and there was three times I was wishing I was me. So, I mean, I got to tell you, it was just, it's that great. So the win is genuinely every day. And I'm blessed to be able to teach something that simply, Ryan, is not being taught anywhere else. You know, I've done 185 interviews in the last 11 and a half months. Not one host has said, I know somewhere else that's being taught. In fact, usually just the opposite. And this is what we teach. And I share it in the most simplistic terms. And it's the win. It's the thing that I do. And that is, first of all, I say to your listeners, we love everybody. I say it again. We love everybody. But we teach a skill that's not being taught, and that is we teach people how to separate the person who we love from their deeds, which we may not love. And by an observation skill, an awareness skill, we teach people, don't listen to what they're saying. Watch what they're doing. Because your talk talks and your walk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. So we teach people, watch what they're doing. Watch their deeds. We even have actual checklists to follow. And one's called the 25 do's. Watch them doing these 25 things. And from that, you can begin to discern, should I pull them closer into my life and become a part of my giver community? Because givers bring with them the three W's of wisdom, wealth, and wellness. Or because of what I see them doing, should I begin respectfully distancing myself from them? Not rude or nasty, just respectfully distancing myself. Because if I bring them closer based on what I see them doing, they're going to make me collateral damage. And I ask your listeners, think about when your stress level goes up. Think about when you're stomping out fires each day. I guarantee you both of those have names attached. What would be the value if we knew upfront how to decide and discern which people should we pull in closer and which should we respectfully distance? So when we say giver, we're not labeling a person. We're labeling giver deeds. And we say taker, we're not labeling a person. That person's a taker. We're labeling taker deeds. And we teach people how to discern so that they have the best possible people around them every day.
I'm going to pivot away from my normal. I'm going to ask you about your morning routine, but I want to get clear on this. Are you teaching people how to, because I know you're very big into masterminds and we could talk about that. You're basically teaching people how to build a community around them of givers. And my assumption is that, because I was going to ask you where you get your energy, your happiness, you know, I can feel it. And so where does that come from? Does that come from the community around you that you've purposely crafted? I don't know if that's the right word, but.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great word. And the answer is yes, and then some. Part of it was, you know, things that were taught to me by my mentor, who I met. And I was very fortunate and blessed at an early age to meet a puritanical genius, which made me an advocate for mentoring with people, you know, get a mentor. And he taught me how to reframe things, how to look at things in my mind, how to have my intellect control my emotions and not my emotions control my intellect. So he taught me happiness is not an energy, is not the absence of stress. It's the proper management of it. And he taught me how to manage those things. So I get up every morning and I got to tell you, it's a blessing. And at 65 years old, I'm already way past to all the people that said he would never make it that far. So I'm doing great.
Have you always been like this? Like what was the turning point? If we go back to I think you mentioned you were in the food business before we started recording. Were you always like this?
Well, I can definitely say no. I mean, I learned from people way smarter than me. Again, going back to my mentor who I met when I was 16, 17 years old. And, you know, and I made a commitment to him and he was a puritanical genius. I mean, a real genuine genius and a real genuine mentor. And I share with people, again, sort of jumping ahead, but go backwards. And that is, I'm such an advocate for mentoring. And I tell people, if you don't have a mentor, in my world, we call that naive. That's what we call it, right? You need someone. And when you select a mentor, don't get an educated idiot. I've met thousands of them. An educated idiot is the one that has all the book knowledge and spews it all back at you, but zero execution and zero implementation skills. A true mentor, which I was blessed to have, did it. You want to have a mentor who's done whatever you want to do, because with them, they bring all the things that didn't work. And that's where the wisdom is. Be selective with your mentor and ask them, what have you done? Don't be afraid to ask that question. Show me what you've done. And then from that, you can begin to discern, is this someone who I want to have as my mentor, or do I need someone that's really done it? And then they can teach you. And there's so many available, Ryan, that want to help. That's where I learned it.
Well, who are you personally following right now? Whether it's an author, a podcast, obviously you teach this stuff too, but is there anyone that you're personally following?
Well, I have to say genuinely, I'm at the point in my life with my spiritual growth, part of my morning routine, if I can segue into that for a minute, because it answers your question. You know, I get up at 5:30 every morning. During that, and right after I get up, I update my computer, make sure all the programs are updated, so you know nothing gets goofy during the day. And then I do something every day, which is very important for me. I read the Bible every day, cover to cover. Once a year, I read the Bible cover to cover. And I tell people, I said, you know, it's easier than you think. 2 chapters from the Old Testament, 20 verses from the New Testament. That's it, 15 minutes. And every day I do that. That's what I follow. And I'm at the point in my life where I found that the answers really are in that when you study that. I mean, it is really, really spectacular. So the answer is yes, I do follow. And that is specifically at this point in my life, what I've chosen to follow, because I know the answers are there at a much more elevated level that I'm reaching for. And then I work out 5 days a week too, 6 days a week as a part of my daily morning routine. I usually get up at 5:30, update the computer, Bible reading, workout, and I work out 6 days a week. And that, of course, as you well know, has a huge impact on energy level also. The more energy you expend, the more you get back. That's the way it works.
So how long is your routine for when you're exercising too?
During the week, Monday through Friday is sort of my maintenance, if you will. So those tend to be like maybe half hour workouts. Some days are cardio, some days are weights. And then Saturday, I have the big kahuna. You know, that's 2 hours solid, no more than 1 to 2 minute breaks in between sets for 2 hours solid, weights hitting the whole body. So Saturday's that's the big kahuna workout, you know, and then Sunday's a full recovery day. And quite candidly, I enjoy that full recovery day after Saturday.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, like an ice bath or something.
Yeah.
I'm just curious, do your kids have your positive attitude? I don't know if you're married or not. If you're married too, do they have your positive attitude?
I would say, first of all, yes, my whole family does. And secondly, you know, I really do encourage that, and only don't even limit it to those family members around me. And, you know, but when I meet people during the day, you know, one of the things we say with Givers University, you know, there's so many salutations and things we do by rote every day that are, they become trite and meaningless. And so when someone tells me I have a good day, I said, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to do that. And they look at me because I stopped them and I said something usually you don't say when someone says, I have a good day. I said, no, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to do that. And they look at me and I say, because I only have the best day ever. And it gives them pause and makes them think. And then that's what, and you know what's funny, Ryan? They remember a person that does that because you know, everyone walks the other way. And it's all by route and it is meaningless and senseless. And I want to give every opportunity I have on this planet, I want to give out something great that is going to help someone's day. Maybe give them pause, maybe think, you know what? That's a pretty good thing right there.
You try to do that with everyone you meet, like not that same question or that same statement, but when you're at the food store, when you're at the bookstore or wherever, are you always looking for ways to brighten people's day?
Initially, I did look for ways, and I can tell you genuinely now, it's a habit. You know, it's just a habit. You know, it's so much easier. You know, I see someone having a hard time, and you know, I was at the grocery store a couple of weeks back, and this man and this woman were just railing on the guy at the cash register for no reason. He didn't do anything wrong. And I felt sorry for the guy. So when I got up, I was the next person in line. I got up, I said, I just want to let you know. His name was Taylor. I even remember his name. I said, Taylor, I just want to let you know. I said, you know, some people brighten up a room by leaving it. And I think you just met that couple. And I said, I just want to compliment you. You're not letting them get to you. You rose above it. I said, blow them off. And I said, and let me know because I got a smile on my face and I think you're great and I think you're going to have a great day. And he looked at me with this smile and he almost got a little teary-eyed. And he said, boy, I really needed that. And I said, hey, man, we're all here together. We're working it together. So you're doing a great job. I'm proud of you. And I got to tell you, he packed away my groceries in the best, most orderly way I've ever seen in my life. Anyway, so the but it's so simple to do that. You know, it just takes a minute. And that really sort of leads me, if I can share with you something that having to do with life in general and the meaning of life that my mentor shared with me. And at 19 years old, he said, let me tell you about this thing called life. He said, picture in your mind this huge scale. And on the right side of the scale are all the things you're going to get in life. The income, the benefits, the joys, the blessings, everything you're going to get comes from that right side of the scale. He said, from the left side of the scale are all the things you're going to give, contribute, time, effort, money, all the things you're going to give and contribute to your life. Here's what's amazing about the giver's scale of life. It's never out of balance. He said, it strives for balance. And even at a static moment when it seems like it's out of balance, it's not. He said, so what I'm going to say next is the hard part of life. He piqued my interest, to say the least. He said, when you get your head around this, though, he said, you will be unstoppable. He said, here it is. Forget about the right side. He said, because everyone goes there. He said, forget about what you're going to get. And he said, and since you know up front the scale's never out of balance, your job every day is to heave so much on the left side of that scale. Your new job is to get that scale out of balance. That's your job. He said, and when you do that, you'll never have to worry about what you get from the right side of the scale. And I can share with you, Ryan, that is absolute truth. And I was blessed with many early life successes, you know, and millions of dollars as a direct result of not me. I just did what this puritanical genius told me to do. And I did. And I worked that scale of life the way he said. And I can share with your listeners, listen, if you're not a millionaire and if you haven't earned $1 million in 1 year, then maybe you should listen up. Not because I'm saying it, but because I was taught by someone who did it and then shared with me, I emulated him and I did it. So there must be something to it. The giver scale of life works.
And this is going to be very hard to keep this episode at the 15, 20 minutes that I tried to, because you're firing off so many questions in my head. Can you, just so my audience has a more concrete, to like visualize, I understand meaning of life through your lens is giving, and that's Givers University, giving back. What are some ways that you personally give back? Obviously, at Givers University, you try to brighten people's day up when you meet them. What are other ways that you give back so we can make this very concrete?
Yeah, for sure. And very granular. And it was like I was talking with Jalen a couple of days, and it's right to your question. I said, you know, what's the biggest challenge you have? And he said, I need more clients. Now, when the call was over, I was talking to an associate of mine. I said, do you hear what he said? He's got it backwards. What he should be saying is, how can I solve more people's challenges and biggest challenges they have in their life? And then he'd never have to worry about having more clients. But he came from a place of, I need more clients, right? I need more clients. It's backwards. He approached it backwards. And guess what? It also becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. He's always going to need more clients as long as he keeps saying that. But to rework that and reframe it and say, in every instance, how can I help that person? And my mentor said, when you have a challenge in life, solve someone else's that has the same challenge that you have. He said, and watch how yours gets solved. He said, people look at it backwards. He said, everyone always wants the answer. Give me the answer. Give me that. Wrong. Backwards. The answers are around us. They're omnipresent. They're always there. He told me, focus on the right questions. Because the answer will always be there. People get the wrong answers because they ask the wrong questions. Then they're surprised when they got the answer they actually asked for. Focus on the right questions in life, not the answers. The answers will be there. They're always there. They always have been. They always will be. And that's how I do it.
And if you don't know what questions to ask, I think correct me if I'm wrong, but the formula is stop thinking about yourself and think about how you can help the other person and craft the questions from their point of view, not your point of view. Is that correct? Or do I have that wrong?
Totally. Totally. I was at an event, a few events back, and this one, you know, the speakers were sort of talking. This one gal says, you know what? She said two things back to back. She said, you know, I don't like to work with small clients because, you know, that's not where the money is. And she said, and also, I don't like to give away my stuff because I'm afraid they're going to steal it. And of course, me being me, I'm going to say, well, I got to tell you, you're not going to like what I'm going to say. And you might not even like me after this. I said, but I got to say it. Number one, every great business started as a small company. Every great enterprise started with an idea. I said, so you really want to just only do that? And I said, secondly, if you're concerned about people stealing your stuff, you need more stuff. And she said, that was it. She never talked to me again.
I guess you're right. So let's talk about clients. I've got a couple more questions for you. With clients, when you're taking on a client, will you work with a difficult one? Because, you know, with client work, some are easy, some are difficult. Will you work with a difficult client thinking that they just need, I got to help them think more positively? Or do you just shy away or just push the hard clients away, the difficult ones away, because you want to focus on the ones that are better to work with?
Well, the first thing I do is I identify the elephant in the room. I don't pretend like I don't know it. I say, I have to tell you, we've had some great conversations here, but you know, I feel resistance in the emotional phrase here a little bit. Now, do you want me to help you with that? Or are you happy the way that is? I want to let you know up front. God bless you. I love you. If you are happy with the emotional way you look at things right now, and you're good with that, I just want to let you know we'll be parting ways friends. If you want me to help you with that, I can help you learn how to reframe that. Your happiness level will double and triple, but you've got to be willing to listen and do. Do the thing, get the thing. Do not the thing, get not the thing, but get something else. If you want me to teach you to do the thing, not because I know, it was because I learned it. I said, if you want me to, I'm happy to stay in there with you. Your choice, what would you like to do? Well, let you know either way is great for me. So I identify it. I don't just back off from it. I tell them square very kindly. And I think that was gentle. I don't think that's, you know, would make someone mad or anything. But, and then I find out. And sometimes I say, you know, I'm just sort of happy the way I said, God bless you. I love you. No problem. I wish you the success. And I hope when our paths cross next, I can help you any way I can. Right now, I need to be focusing on the people that I can help to the greatest extent I can. So thank you. It's awesome.
Makes a lot of sense. EA, I've got one last question for you, and then we're going to wrap up with you telling everyone how they can learn more about you, which I'm sure they're going to want to after listening to this conversation. I think, I know it's going to help a lot of people after they listen to this. So my last question for you is, I want to talk to you about challenges that you face, funks that you might get into. Your energy's high, and you're a very positive person. You give back a lot, but we're all human. We're all imperfect human beings, and you obviously run into challenges and bad moods sometimes. How do you handle that? You personally handle funks, challenging situations, etc.
I realize that I have the power to choose. It's a God-given right. We have the power to choose, and part of those things include choosing our thoughts. And my mentor again said to me, he said, you're going to get tackled 1,000 times in your life. Get ready for it. He said, if you meet someone and say they haven't been tackled yet in life, distance yourself. He said, because they're next. He said, and if they haven't been tackled yet, they've been saving up. It's going to be a whopper. Make some distance there. But he said, here's what you want to keep in mind. He said, in the medical community, if they're giving you some kind of drug or some kind of treatment, they're saying, you know, if a person is reacting to it, that means it's not working for them, right? They're having a problem with it. He said, if they give them a treatment and say they're responding to it, he said, that means it's helping, it's working well. He said, you want to be in responsive mode, not reaction mode. And there's only one way to do that. And it's the secret he taught me, Ryan. He said, never allow your intellect to rule your emotions. The other way around. I'm sorry. I actually said that backwards. I apologize to your listeners. He said, always make sure that your intellect rules your emotions. When your emotions rule your intellect, you are reacting. Nothing good's going to come out of that, including the way you face the day, look at the day, your thought process, everything, because your emotions are ruling your intellect. Learn the skill of having your intellect control your emotions, then you're always responding. And when you're responsive and you're responding, you're going to be more in control of your thought process. You're going to, and rather than just turning it over to other people, you know, I teach people, I like to teach them how to become independent thinkers instead of dependent thinkers. I'm not going to think a thought, Ryan, because of what someone else thinks. If someone else says something to me I don't like, if I don't like it, that's on me. That's not on them. Then we're not going to get rid of all the people that don't know when to shut their mouth in life. You know, so we have to learn ourselves a skill of being an independent thinker and maintaining our own counsel. And when we control our intellect, we can then control our emotions, and that controls our moods. It controls how we look at things, how we look at the day. It is true that a lot of people complain that rose bushes have thorns. I happen to be one of the ones that is thankful and so blessed that thorn bushes have roses. Which way do you want it?
And just so my audience is clear on expectations, I'm assuming this approach, this mindset, it takes time. You can't, don't beat yourself up over it if it doesn't come natural. You know, give it time to marinate and to work for you.
It's never fully mastered, Ryan. It's a we're all in a work in progress. And that's one of the exciting things about it is today I get to better my best.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this was great, EA. Love the advice you gave. I know this is going to help a lot of people. Loved your energy. I personally took a lot away from this conversation. So people are going to want to reach out to you. Where should we send them?
Two places. First, go to our website, giversuniversity.com. It's plural, giversuniversity.com. Sign up for our newsletter. It's absolutely free. Now, we're not spammers. So as soon as they do that, they're going to get an email that says, do you want to talk to Givers University? If they don't respond, they will get nothing else from us. If they do and say, yes, I want an email from Givers University, 2 hours later, they're going to get the checklist I mentioned when we first started talking. We want them to download it, print it off, use it. It's the 25 do's, the 25 deeds to watch for when discerning who we should have closer in our life and who we should not. And then once a week on Thursday, we send out a newsletter called The Giver's Toolbox. We give a brand new tool for them to add to the relationship toolbox every Thursday morning. It's about a 5-minute read. And that's it. We're not going to blow up their mailbox. I hate when that happens. You sign up and all of a sudden you get 6 emails a day and I go, unsubscribe, right? So one email a week from the Giver's Toolbox. The other way, which we highly recommend, is absolutely free. Go to our YouTube channel. It's Givers University. No spaces, one word. Go to the playlist that says how to form your own givers community. It's 2-minute clips, 21, step by step by step. If you want to learn how to have the right people around you, we'll walk you through it. Very granular, not nebulous and innocuous. Specifically, step by step, this is what you do if you want to form the right community around you. And just, it's all there free on our YouTube channel. And it's real simple, Ryan. We believe in the giver scale of life. So every day when I get up, my goal is to get that scale out of balance by heaving so much on the left side. And all the people I'm associated with do the same thing.
Great way to end this, EA. Thanks a lot for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me on your great show.
Thanks for listening to the Morning Upgrade Podcast. Please subscribe and review. And don't forget to visit us at morningupgrade.com for more content.